Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I like?
What's that?
That I get to do this, the opening, in its purest form. John, do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, yes, it is very bad.
Super duper, go Jupiter!
Super duper Jupiter!
Boy, it feels nice to, because I feel like we equivocate a lot.
Sure.
That we, not sure if that's the right word, a lot. But it's generally like, oh, this movie could have been something, or it was almost good, or in my case, I like a lot of the garbage we watch. Mm-hmm. This movie was, I struggled to find stuff. And John, I got to tell you something. If you said, hey, Alex, there's a movie where a half werewolf from outer space uses rocket inline skates to save a pretty lady, I would say, John, I am so fucking in, you have no idea how much I want to watch this movie right now. And then somehow, that movie, it's Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, yeah. So it is, it's like one of those things where it's like, the Wachowskis, for good or ill, they make some like bonkers stuff. I mean, you can go back, listen to the Speed Racer episode that even though that might not be a great movie, they like swung for the fences and they really didn't here. And there's so much stuff about this movie that should be cool and should be amazing, but just isn't. And no. It feels like that just a rote kind of action movie that it doesn't matter that they're involved with it. But it's just, there's so much stuff that should be awesome, but just is not.
So frustrating.
And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And the movie dares you to give a shit about what's going on. I've never experienced that in a movie before, but like the movie actively dares you to like give a shit about filling out paperwork, basically.
There are a few scenes, and as we go through, I'm going to point out, there are a few scenes that I actually liked. And I was shocked when I liked something. Because I mean, I couldn't help, I was just, audience at home, I try not to talk to John much before we do the show about the movie we're watching. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't help it. I'm texting John. I'm like, it's 15 minutes in and I've never wanted to turn a movie off more.
Yeah.
Like every 5 minutes I'm picking up my phone and I had to stop myself because I'm like, I'll just save it for the show because this is so frustrating. But every now and again, there's a scene like, oh, that was cool. And that actually made me hate the movie more because if it was just the steady monotone awful, I could just go, yeah, just grin and bear it, lean back, think England. But like, no. Oh.
No. Yeah.
I will say this.
And like my list of likes is much smaller. And it basically, if you had to say like, give me something positive about the movie. I like that the spaceships are also Gothic cathedrals. That was very bizarre. And I loved it.
You know,
I love the spaceship design.
You added something to my list.
Yeah.
Because I actually did like that as well.
That was fun and kind of added to the whole weird, like high, like royal lineage kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It that part of it all worked for me, but that's about it.
I'll try to point it out as we go because there's a few scenes that I liked and it kind of annoyed me when I did. But I mean, I guess we should. I don't even know. Like, how do you? All right, so let's just start with this. Her dad gets killed for no good reason over a telescope.
Well, yeah. So it's her dad. So it's her giving this voiceover. Her name is Jupiter Jones. Mila Kunis' character is Jupiter Jones.
Yeah.
And,
no, I think they say Jones.
Well, she talked about her parents' meeting, and her dad was a space nut. He loved space and loved looking at it through a telescope. And the first time his mom meets him, he's freezing. He's almost freezing to death looking at the stars. And then we see that, no, that's not the case at all. Like, he was, you know, almost freezing to death looking at the stars. And cut to this woman looking at a guy who's just in a sweater is, hello, I'm looking at the stars.
Yeah, I might be a bit nippy.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't seem to care.
I'm good. I got a nice thick sweater.
And they hit it off and I guess then get married and he wants to name the daughter Jupiter and she's like, that's dumb. And then he kisses her stomach and says, yeah, it's going to be named Jupiter. And then gets shot by Russian mafia for some reason.
That scene, and I want to fast forward a little bit in this movie because we can't get... I could talk about before Channing Tatum gets introduced for an hour, but that scene is played up comedically. Like the main problem with this movie, and it's I can't believe I'm going to actually be able to say this, is the timing of it. It has, it's vacillating between comedic Fifth Element-y beats, which mm-hmm. I know you don't like the movie, but you know,
but
that vibe and serious, and mm-hmm. it doesn't get a tonal thing right. And the beginning is such a perfect encapsulation of this, where it's this fast-forwarded, like that Russian mob scene is comedically timed.
Yeah.
And if you don't give it proper time, it's going to be stupid. Why do we need that?
Yeah.
Why not? We're doing voiceover already, which is already a shitty way to start a movie, in my opinion. Why don't we just have the voiceover saying, I was born to an immigrant mother on a ship. It doesn't need to be there because you don't need the telescope.
Oh, that line, though. Because her mother's life falls apart because her father dies and she's on a ship and her mother pushed everyone out of her life. Her pretty mother pushed everyone out of her life. Right. And 6 months later, in the middle of the mid-Atlantic, she pushed me out too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This movie.
Woo.
So, I mean, I don't understand. Her dad had enough money to buy a fucking really nice old brass telescope.
Yeah.
What happened to the money?
It does not matter.
Like, why
none of this? None of this matters. None of it matters because it doesn't even go anywhere. It doesn't be like, oh, it turns out my dad was actually a super secret spaceman or something like that. No, it's just that she has a telescope that she wants to buy.
I'm so frustrated by this film already. So we catch up with her life. She's cleaning toilets with her mom, I guess, their independent company. They clean toilets in very nice apartments.
Yes.
In Chicago. So they're probably doing pretty well, but they're not for some reason. I guess because they just want this to be like a Willy Wonka thing with, you know, all the uncles and aunts sleeping together in the same bed.
Right. Yeah. Because it's like a huge family business, but they're also competing crews in the family. I don't know. But you gave me crap when we were talking about Spider-Man that I call it a kid's movie. There is no way that this wasn't like aimed at young adults. Like this has such a YA sci-fi thing attached to it. And I only say that not only just because of the plot and everything else. But the bit where she's cleaning the toilets and just goes, I hate my life.
Yeah.
Yep, we get it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not that I gave you shit for thinking Spider-Man was, but it's more that that's the level of movie making that we're going for. That is an adult movie nowadays.
Right,
yeah. This is, you're 100% right. This is this weird, like, it's got that, like, Hunger Games. And I don't want to use Hunger Games because that's a good movie, at least in that genre. This is just clunky garbage. But yeah, it's aimed at... I think this is supposed to be for, like, tween girls kind of thing. Yeah,
for, like, the Maze Runner crowd or whatever.
But they don't know how to land it. And you can also make a $170 million movie for tweens. So they tried to make it too sci-fi-y. Because I think if they stuck with the Wizard of Oz, because there's a lot of kind of L. Frank Baum-style stuff in this. Mm. Like, especially with them, like, kind of replacing their parts. That's kind of Tin Man. I mean, I'm stretching there. But, like, there's what now would be called magical realism, or whatever you called it back during the L. Frank Baum days. There's a lot of that
populism.
Here.
Populism.
What's that?
Populism.
Sure, whatever. I don't know what that joke means, but I'm going to believe it's funny.
It was a bit like how the Yellow Brick Road was the gold standard. And
oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything. I just read the books. But they didn't choose either of the tones. It went for both, and it just failed miserably. All right, so she's cleaning toilets. That's her life. And she doesn't like it very much.
Yeah, there's a montage of her cleaning toilets and, like, trying on rich – or, like, pretending to try on rich ladies' clothes.
Yeah. Just,
and being like, now, I want a better life, but not doing anything about it.
Here's where my first major – and I've already said how much I hate the opening. But here's where my first major problem with this movie happens. This movie's very confusing. I think we can both agree to that, especially front-heavy. And this is the way the Wachowskis tend to make movies. It's the same with The Matrix, where it's front-heavy, and then eventually you kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. It worked before. Why have the switcheroo with Catherine Dunleavy?
Yeah, so this doesn't make sense. So her brother, cousin, Vasily, who's played by...
Who I thought was her boyfriend, which got very confusing quickly.
I thought
that was her shitty boyfriend. It turns out it's her shitty cousin, which makes slightly less sense. But,
but he's the actor who was the funny mechanic in Speed Racer. Kirk Gurry plays Vladi.
Yeah.
And he has this plan for her where... go sell your eggs to make some money and because they go for a high price. And she wants to do that because she wants to buy this telescope that reminds her of her dad that she never met. I forget what the thing was where it's like it's – she only gets a couple thousand, but he gets the majority of it.
He gets 10,000. She gets 5,000. And then when he goes, well, why is this? He goes, capitalism things.
He goes, that's
down,
capitalism, maybe. But here's the thing. That's the first in this movie. There's a lot of questions in this movie that get answered in that same way.
Yeah.
Where someone asks the questions and someone just goes, bleh, something else. And then it's not really answered. Yep. And you're just supposed to be like, well, that's okay. We're moving on.
Yeah. And they don't answer it. So she goes to the clinic to get her eggs harvested.
Harvested. Whoa, what a parallel.
In a ham-handed parallel.
Yeah.
God, I fucking hate. So this movie,
she gives a fake name to do this.
Well,
thing.
she gives her friend's name.
She gives the client's name, the person whose house she's cleaning.
Well, I think they're like friends, right? Because
kind of like they're friendly enough.
Oh, who gets
as friendly as you can be with a lower class?
Yeah, with the help. Yeah.
But you have discovered there's already been some space talk, right? Haven't we seen some space stuff about these people are after a Catherine Dunleavy?
Wait, let me grab my notes here because it's very confusing. Okay, so we get the whole scene with the aristocrats, the Abraxas family.
Oh no. The Abraxas family.
Yeah.
Because that's not incredibly lazy.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, like literally, it's just that's the name of a Sumerian or whatever demon. Like that's
right.
Yeah. So anyway.
And the great Jesse Ventura movie.
Oh, by the way, why is it that the entire Abraxas family, and I'm just going to call them that, why do they look more CGI than Grandma Tarkin in Rogue One? Like, they literally look Uncanny Valley, and it's actual actors.
Yeah, well, that was driving me nuts at first, where it's like all these, like, prematurely aged Eddie Redmayne and Tuppence, what's her name?
A Pound?
No, I wish.
Oh, I got Tuppence a Pound! You could fuck my fanny for £5.
The very, very Britishly named Tuppence Middleton. and I'm just like, why are these people like, you could have hired actual old people. What is going on? And then later they are bathing in something that makes them young. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I get it.
No, but she looks like a young person in old people makeup. Eddie Redmayne, the whole movie, looks like CGI. He looks like Grand Moff Tarkin.
Eddie Redmayne is not a person. I'm coming to that conclusion.
Okay, so we see that they're on this planet that's got this blue sand. There's no people there. And they reference that the planet has been harvested.
Right.
And we don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
And then we meet the bounty hunters, who one looks like Lena Wachowski with, like, you know, the same purple dreadlock hair. There's a badass black guy. I think he's the one with the feather beard.
Yeah. Like I liked that. Like where he has hair, like a kind of a mohawk and a goatee, but it's feathers.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is ridiculous, but I'm for it.
And I guess, okay, now I can admit some of the things I like about this movie, just because that's a thing like that, is I like how in the design of the film, like everything but the people, the actual humans in the movie, looks great. I think the planets look great, the ships look great, the aliens look great, the humans look like garbage. They look like CGI garbage. But I thought that guy looked cool. That's one of my main things I liked about the film, is that, like, especially like when they did like the Jupiter shots and like the big space shit, that looked really cool to me. Like that looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Except for every human that's in the movie is.
I did not like her, the female bounty hunter's bike, because it looked like something out of the video game Destiny.
Okay, no, that was stupid, but I didn't think of it because this is where we meet Channing Tatum, and he's inline rollerblading, and he fights with his boots, the legendary boots.
Oh boy!
Because they track the Gaia. I think that's what he said, because I didn't understand most of the words of this movie.
Yeah,
inline skating fight, and they should go warn Lord Bolem. Now that's too fucking close, movie. Because John, do you know what my last name is?
Oh yeah, Abraxas.
That's my middle name. My last name, Bolin.
Right.
Very much.
And your
like
address
that.
Is no.
Yes. So speaking of which, for the rest of this episode, I would like you to refer to me as Alex, because that'd be weird if you said it anything else. I mean, I don't know where you thought I was going.
Please, with that. Lord Bolin.
Yes. Oh, Lord Bolin, yeah. Thou doth be drinking thine old German mead.
So they on this planet that's been harvested, they talk about how like the reoccurrence. Seems like the reoccurrence.
Oh, that's
happened.
Right. Yeah, they start this pretty early.
Yeah, and the reoccurrence has happened, and so they've sent bounty hunters to go find it, and so they encounter Channing Tatum, who's hunting it. Channing Tatum, Kane Wise.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's some of this movie that's very like deviant arty, but in a way that doesn't like that isn't like it could be more awesome than it actually is.
If they went
nuttier with it.
They have an elephant that drives a ship that's name is Nesh.
Yeah,
like Ganesh, like the elephant, like. That should be the coolest thing I've ever seen in a fucking movie, and it is a fucking bore.
Right.
Fuck you, Wachowskis.
Yeah. So he goes to I don't even know what he's doing. He goes to some place, like, breaks into somewhere, reads a file, smells it to get someone sent. I'm assuming that's Mila Kunis's character. And then they try to fight him, and that's when you get his legendary boots, which allow him to rollerblade in the air.
Why is this not awesome? Because talking about it, how is this not awesome? John,
it's not awesome.
Rollerblading.
There's no way this could ever be awesome.
He's a lichen rollerblades in the air. That should be the coolest thing that's ever happened.
If this movie was made in 1989, that would be awesome.
What's great about he also sketches multiple times.
Yeah. Because the whole thing is his character, you find out, besides being half werewolf or something, or a genetically modified
wolf. He's a lichenton.
And there's even like a phrase for it that's really kind of like gemnophage or something like that. Like awkward thing to say. But he also used to have wings that he lost.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like most wolves.
Fuck.
Lichenton. Yeah, that's it. Because I actually wrote Lichenton. Oof.
So there's this stupid scene of them attacking him in Chicago in the middle of the night, and like no one notices laser blasts happening. Yeah. And there's a good explanation for that later.
And yes, in the movie Men in Black.
It's even worse than this.
So, this is where she – now we're – so that's introduction to space stuff. She goes to sell her eggs. Oh, wait, no. You know what we missed?
What?
Where I was about to miss? She's talking to Catherine Dunleavy, who is Jupiter's roommate or – no, that's her aristocrat friend.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where the first abduction scene happens with the weird grays. Which I – fucking love the way this looks. That is creepy and weird. I thought they fucking nailed it. And it made me think for a brief second, because I had already texted you 3 times about how much I hate the movie.
Yeah.
And we're not 15 minutes in to a 9-hour film. But that went, ooh, that looked really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then the next scene is him doing the roller skate. And I went, oh.
Yeah.
No, my maybe went away.
Because her friend is talking about.
My maybe.
Her friend is talking about getting married.
Baby.
Wanting to get married. Friend is talking about wanting to get married to some like rich asshole guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That foreshadows what happens.
He's number 27 in the 30 under 30 of Chicago. Yeah.
But and then as she's looking for a dress for her friend to wear, these creepy little alien guys start trying to abduct her.
Yeah, Mila Kunis takes a picture of them, and then a really awkwardly timed phone call happens.
Yeah, which alerts them, and they rush at her, and then they all kind of wake up 5 minutes later.
Yeah,
and
it's awkward.
And it's awkward. And then like Mila Kunis, they don't remember it. But later she sees the photo on her phone. It's like, well, wait, what's that? Which also doesn't make any sense because weren't they supposed to like kill her or something?
Yeah. So this is the first of the plot where they just – and I think the Wachowskis just went, fuck it. We don't need to. So they're looking for the reoccurrence. We know – I mean, I don't know if we know it in the movie right now, but whatever.
No, we don't know what it is yet.
But who cares? Reoccurrence is – well, I mean, basically it's the old queen. She's dead. Every now and again in the universe, because there's so many people, the same exact genetic combination happens, and it's almost like reincarnation.
Yes.
This has happened on Earth. They found out about it because she has put her blood work in or whatever to donate eggs under the name Catherine Dunleavy. That's where they went to kill her.
Right.
They have Catherine Dunleavy and this lady in the closet. These emissaries of a race that is... casual, McDonald's hamburger casual with the murder of entire planets, they left them both alive.
Yeah.
For no reason. They were there to kill the lady that has the genetic markers. There's two people in that room. Why leave them alive? It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, because even they were interrupted, it doesn't matter. They knocked them out or whatever. Like, it was just sort of like, oh, okay. But then the movie just carries on.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in the beginning of Star Wars where you think about it too much and it annoys the shit out of you, where they're like, oh, yeah, look, a life pod. You want me to blast it, sir? Nah, there's no life signs. Leave it. What? Why? What, are you saving
just,
space juice?
Yeah,
are you running low on lasers? Because, dude, you just literally, that asshole in the beginning ruined the Empire.
Yeah.
He's the one that the entire Empire fell because, should we blast it? Nah, no, it's life signs. You're aware of droids. This is...
You just blow up a ship.
And
it's
this
fine.
You went, oh, yeah. We found this incredibly rare occurrence that can disrupt the entire galactic fucking empire. We found it right here. There's two people in this room. I know. We'll just wipe their memories and leave them alive.
It's fine.
As a race that eats them. It is the... Oh, this movie is so fucking stupid. And it's insulting because they make no attempt to cover
they
it
don't,
up.
Yeah, because they just move on. And then later when she goes, Mila Kunis' Jupiter Jones goes to donate her eggs. These things have taken the form of doctors, I guess. And are trying to kill her.
Which I love that scene, too.
Yeah, that was a neat scene. And that's when Channing Tatum emerges from invisibility, I guess, blows them all away and saves her.
Yes. Well, this is, so he takes her to like the Sears Tower or whatever.
Yeah, some tall building.
It's like, hey, we got a ride coming. By the way, you are a space princess. I'm saving you, yada, yada. And she no sells it. And here's the thing. And this is a very, like, we've never talked about the prequels, at least on the show. But I don't blame the actors in the Star Wars prequels.
Mm-hmm.
It is obviously the directors wanted it that way. The dialogue was supposed to be that way. And they tried their best. I don't blame Natalie Portman. She, mm-hmm. I think she did as good as you could. I think Ewan McGregor probably should have won an Oscar for how charming he was in the third one, uh-huh. given how much of a pile of shit that is.
Right.
This movie is very much the same way, where it's like, Mila Kunis is doing as good of a job as you can, because they there's no reaction, and you know that was directed on the set for her to not be reaction to it, because like, there's not even an attempt at acting. It's not bad acting. She's not reacting to any of this magical stuff, except for one point, like that weird regenerative spray. She went, "Oh,
yeah,
amazing!" She had like her the existence of fucking aliens, a lichen from outer space, no cell, and then God, this fucking movie.
Well, but, I will see. My counter to that is that I think. For is how dumb it this is, and later in a Reddit Ask Me Anything, someone asked Channing Tatum what that movie was about, and he goes, "I have a similar question."
Yeah,
that Channing Tatum is still like good in this.
He's fine.
Like yeah. he's just charming. I love me some C Tates, and he is I think Mila Kunis doesn't do a great job in this, because I think people like him and Sean Bean actually sell it more. And I mean, you could be right that it could be the Wachowskis telling her like, no, you are too lazy to even care about any of this.
Yeah, because the thing is, she's not acting surprised poorly. She's not putting an emotion there. And it's not...
But it just feels like it's phoned in. It feels just like I'm just collecting a paycheck.
Oh, see, it read to me like this is their choice. Because the same thing, Neo is the same way. I think they're trying to give her like a unaffected or disaffected, whatever the fuck the word is. But here's the, okay, now I can knock off, I think, the last thing on my list of things I liked about this movie. I adore them on the screen together.
Mm.
Like, not during dumb, hey, let's do backflips through space.
Right.
When she's like thirsty for that dog dick,
yeah.
I like it. Like, they are sizzling. I'm like,
there's
oh.
some chemistry there.
Like,
sure.
Oh boy, I like watching them. And like, I don't fuck the rest of this movie. Let's just have them fucking
hang out. Just go get some hot dogs or something. I don't care.
Cause it's like, oh, I like this. Like these are, this is nice. Like, cause it shouldn't be in this movie. Cause one, the Wachowskis, their movies are the least sexy of anything ever when there's any kind of sex in it.
I disagree. I thought Bound was pretty.
Oh, I forgot about Bound. Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant like in the, sci-fi post.
Oh, sure.
Matrix.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about Bound. Yeah.
Yeah.
I meant, you know, all the Matrixes, like anytime there's any kind of sexuality in that, it was in this like kind of robotic, like, you know, beep, boop, boop. This is how
humans
act.
Well, Chim Chim was pretty hot and pretty steamy. All his scenes with Speed Racer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say what I was about to say and I stopped myself from it. All right. So he's like, hey lady, we got to escape. But she's like, sure, why not? Let's do this. They jump out of the window to go to the spaceship. Mm-hmm. But the spaceship gets blown up by who? Goomba Skeksis.
Yep.
Because they look like the fucking Goombas from the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
I, more than once during this film, thought, oh, this looks like the Mario Brothers movie. John, what's something I don't want to think while watching a movie?
About a better movie?
Well, I mean, that's true. But, kept reminding me of the Mario Brothers movie, which is... one of the worst films ever.
Yes, absolutely.
In the history of ever. And this movie reminds me of it. That's not something that should happen in 2015.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. It's there's a lot about this movie that's embarrassing.
That space reptiles with giant wings hunting a werewolf on space rollerblades.
Yeah, that should be
how
awesome.
Is this movie not awesome? Yeah. Let's just keep adding to the
that's
things
what I'm
on
saying.
The
that's
list.
What I said at the beginning, where it's like all these things that should be huge and bonkers and amazing are just done in this very like workman way. That's just who gives a shit. But this sequence, I guess, their fight over Chicago apparently took like 6 months to do.
Yeah.
And you watch it and you go, well, why? Cause it just, nothing. It's nothing. It's just another action scene. It's not any different from the fucking end of the Avengers. And I don't know how long that took. But it's just, it's people shooting each other and then it's fine. It's just an action scene.
Yeah. The end of the Avengers, at least like, I knew what was happening.
Yeah, things were at stake.
This turned into pod racing.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he gets in the one of the kind of the gray alien ships that have kind of the detached wings that are connected by like kind of electromagnetic force or whatever. It looks like Anakin's fucking pod racer from the prequels. And this is, so within two scenes, I've thought of the prequels and the Mario Brothers movie. Right. What more can this movie do to kill me?
Yes.
You know what it can do? It can. We'll get to the bees. Oh, yeah. We'll get to the fucking bees.
We will get
to the bees. Don't make me Nick Cage on this motherfucker.
So then, yeah, there's this whole action scene. Yeah, and it's they escape or whatever, and then
they steal a car.
They steal a car, and they're driving away, and she's like, "We just blew up huge buildings in Chicago," and he's like, "Don't worry about it. Look in the rearview mirror, and the ships are rebuilt." Or like the building is being rebuilt. As yeah. Like, won't people notice? No, we're going to wipe their memories. It's fine.
Just
just hand waves it away in a way that's not like, again, if this was goofy enough, if all these things you were saying, like rollerblading, if it was done in a way that this is as goofy as it should be, then you'd be like, absolutely, this is happening. This rules.
Like, let me pitch this. Goomba Skeksis aren't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
This whole scene happens. They get blown up by the gray guys. In the background, the buildings are being rebuilt, but in a like a Space Invader style, like 8-bit kind of back and forth, like a video game,
or like the way a CRT monitor works, where it's just
perfect.
Like, yeah.
Just make it like, because this movie is so video gamey, fucking turn into the skid, like mm-hmm. like Fox's Gotham style, like just go, oh, you think this is weird? Fucking watch this. I never say this. Hold my beer. Like, this movie could have done a hold my beer, but nope. The whole thing is just kind of this, hey, let's play this for absolutely serious.
Well, it's the same thing. And I was thinking about this. You talk about video games. Wachowskis, just make anime. Like, that's what you want to do. Just make anime.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much about this that would be like, oh, is this a cartoon? This would be better if it were a cartoon. Like, there's so much more, I'd be so much more forgiving of some of this stuff. Particularly with anime where it's like, well, here's some long speeches about nothing in particular, and then here's a lizard Goomba blowing something up. Sure, fine. That's par for the course.
Yeah, but in this, it's they're playing it real. And then here's where comedy happens. Because she's like, oh, good thing we stole a woman's car, because I'm going to put a menstrual pad on your wound. And it's like, like
yeah, that was such a weird beat that gets brought up a couple of times where it's like, you put a maxi pad on a man?
Wait, it was the...
Which... Come on. That's what?
It's so weird because it's like what? Like this movie, and it's strange, especially given the Wachowskis, life trajectory. This movie's like anti-woman for having
that weird little misogynistic, like Super Bowl ad bullshit.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you mean her quick thinking?
Yeah.
I'm not saying like she's a genius for figuring that out, but it's like, why you just like everything she does just immediately gets wiped away by some dude weirdness. And it's just, it's odd given that like the Wachowskis are, the Wachowski sisters now, like you would think there would be I don't know. It just seems anti-woman in a lot of ways. Like there's no.
Well, it's also, she's not a powerful character. She's constantly just being saved by Kane Wise.
Like, I mean,
I will never stop saying Kane Wise.
Because the only
a name that could sound like canine, but could indicate that he's also smart?
John, I'm just
Kane.
John, can you stop for a second? I actually didn't put together the canine thing until you said that right now. I was thinking of the dumb biblical, the awful biblical thing of Cain, how stupid that is.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's the lonely man cursed to wander free of his pack forever.
Well, that could be a reading Cain. Too. Yeah.
Well, that's what Cain the and now it's the canine.
Cain dumb instead of Cain wise.
Well, I mean, honestly, between our two readings, I think mine was a smarter one, but we could just leave that there.
It sounds like a dog. That's pretty smart to me.
You're right. So, okay, let's just leave it there.
I should be enjoying this more, you being miserable. I hate it. I hate this movie
I wish, here's the thing is, I wanted, every time we watch a movie like this that I know you're going to hate, I want to like it because I want to have a fifth element again where whatever stars lined up, like Jupiter being so close to our planet when this movie came out, whatever happened there that made that movie so wonderful, I want it to happen again just so I could have some joy at your misery. But it's just, this is just, this is,
I'm dragging you down with me.
All right. So the Wachowskis hate women, apparently. They go to Sean Bean's house. And Sean Bean starts beating the shit out of Channing Tatum.
Well, Sean Bean is apparently Stinger, like his old captain.
Stinger, you mean the guy that's got a lot of bees?
Yeah.
Stinger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds pretty.
What's his last name? Do you have his last name there?
Stinger B.
Oh, God, I hope it's not.
No, I don't think it's.
I can't even tell if you're joking because that could be it.
His name is Stinger Apini.
I just realized. Yeah, I just put that together. I think. Okay, so Apis is like apiary. Yeah. That's for bees, and I bet you that's fuck. So
Stinger Apini, also Apini is penis.
Oh, I get it, like a wiener.
Yeah,
that's because
I'm very smart.
Women. Okay, so yeah, that's his old commander.
Wait a minute.
Oh, please.
According to the Wikipedia.
Okay.
Stinger Apini, a quote, Han Solo type character. Stinger is half human and half honeybee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
No,
but I want it to be.
I thought he was supposed to be part bee. I thought that was like why was the bees
it?
Were
Did
there.
I just miss that? I just thought it was like the Sherlock Holmes thing of like, I'm retiring to take care of bees. Like, Sherlock
but
Jenna,
you don't take care of bees by having them in your house.
You do if you're a weird alien, man.
I mean, fair enough. I've never been a weird alien.
Because his daughter ain't no bee.
Speaking of what, his daughter is there. Out of order, he goes, hey, go to the store and pick up some stuff, right? And she goes, yeah. And that's it. She's gone for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
What? Why have her there? This is the same thing with that switcheroo in the beginning. Why? This movie's, how long is the movie? 3 hours or close?
It's a little over 2 hours. I think the idea there is to have his later
really,
sort
only,
of.
Only over 2 hours?
Yeah.
Ugh.
To have his later sort of betrayal have some, like the reason he did it is because he needed to protect his daughter.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
But yeah, it's very just.
But go fuck yourself.
Well, I mean, like, how much hand waving is done in this movie that just, yeah, why not?
So, all right, so he rolls up and he's like, fuck you. I used to have wings and then you were a jerk. And so they're fighting. And while they're fighting, Jupiter, she's like, go away, bees. I'm swatting at you. And then the bees start following her hands around in a, I guess it's supposed to be magical moment. But to me, he went, well, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And then the dumbest thing in any movie that's ever happened in the universe happens. John, would you like to explain? Because I'm pretty sure you know what I'm about to say.
About how bees are genetically designed to recognize royalty?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. That's why they know that she's...
She's the queen.
She's the queen of space. Yeah. Because bees are genetically designed to recognize royalty.
But okay, so let's just spin this around for a second. She's not royalty.
Isn't she though?
No. She's the head of a company,
right?
That owns planets,
right?
So that's like saying you're royalty because you own a lot of head of cattle.
Well, I mean, look at Dune, for example, and the Chome Company contracts. That was such a huge part of Like, I mean, yeah, royalty is not a genetic trait. As much as they want you to believe it is, it's dumb.
But Dune, they were royal because they were like he was King Leto,
right?
And he was. These are
because he had a lot of power and land.
But this is like they run it like a company.
Yeah,
like
but like for a movie that in a lot of ways is trying to fight structures of power, to be like, no, but some people are genetically better.
Yeah,
than
but also, so I guess here's okay. So when we meet the Abraxas family,
Abraxas.
Yeah, whatever. I'm saying Abraxas family. When we meet Titus, Balaam, and Kalik.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they said Princess Kalik, Prince Titus, and Prince Balaam?
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't, because they don't. They call them by their first fucking name. If they're royalty, why is it just... Sorry, this whole movie sucks.
Yeah.
And it just... You wasted 5 minutes of my life on the dumbest thing ever. That also, structurally, if you think about it, doesn't really make that much sense.
No. Well, what also doesn't make sense is...
King Ray Kroc of you know.
Well, what doesn't make sense... So she's, like, later inside just waving her hands around and making bees dance around her hands. Mm-hmm. Which is dumb when what you should have been doing is making that like kissy motion with her fingers and making bees kiss. That's what I would do.
As dumb as that would be, that would be the kind of thing in this movie it would win it over for me. Like if they spend time that she's because she is this infant character that has she has no agency, she has no personality, and she just went, okay, make kissy faces and they spend like 30 seconds of her in the background just go.
And the whole time, like, they're talking, like, Sean Bean and Channing Tatum are
super
talking about
serious.
Something, but they're just
boop, 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 boop.
Back when you fought the hammer maneuver, I felt the thing, and together we had our wings, but we fell from grace. I fell from grace almost like Cain from the Bible. It's almost like I'm a fallen angel.
Did you notice that also sounds like a dog's name?
By the way, I'm part Bumblebee and didn't notice that this lady is royalty, even though that's established in the same seed.
So apparently,
I don't know what voice that was, but I liked it.
It's a dead on Sean Bean.
Yeah.
So apparently that's when Jupiter finds out that humans aren't from Earth. They're from some other stupid planet.
Yeah.
And
a billion of your Earth years ago.
Yeah. And that they've seed other planets with Earth. And I think he said they try to like mix Earth or mix humans with the...
What they did was they landed on Earth and they found some proto-humanoid or monkeys and made them do kissy faces with them. Uh-huh. Genetically engineered...
Like you do with bees.
Yeah, exactly. They genetically engineered the local wildlife. So we're like a specific kind of human that's sort of... It's basically they're trying to get around evolution.
Right, so that's why Channing Tatum is a wolf? Because they was on a wolf planet?
He's a splicer.
Okay.
He got wolf shit put into him so he could be a good warrior.
So why do other humans look like humans?
Because they're humans. So what it is we're not spliced. I guess back in the day we were. But what they're trying to do is they go, oh, we're going to land on the planet. We're going to put some
I don't care anymore.
No, wait.
I'm sorry.
I've already started.
I know.
We're going to land on a planet. We're going to put some genetic shit into it. We're going to basically force evolution so the planet evolves into humans so that thousands of years later they can be called during the harvest.
Right.
Now, he is just some dude that they put wolf shit into so he can be a good fighter.
Right, but then why is Mila Kunis's genetic makeup, even though it's been sliced with that of a monkey, the same as the queen?
Well, no, that's the idea. It's millions of years ago it was spliced with a monkey so they evolve into humans. The idea is they're trying to force evolution of humans on the planet so that they
So it doesn't matter what your base was. You're eventually going to become a human.
I mean, we only know from this planet, because I question whether some of the other, like the dude with the feathers on his face, Nesh, the pilot. I wonder if like on some planet they melded with elephants. They came out kind of elephant people.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fine.
Because we only see the one. But I mean,
I'm just angry that I'm thinking this hard about the movie.
Well, no, because it's explained in the film. This is clear as anything else in the movie.
That's true. That's true.
As clear as bees. You fucking piece
of
shit.
So she's basically told that, all human history is everything we know about the birth of humanity is a lie. And we're eventually going to get harvested, I guess. And then the bounty hunters.
They don't say the harvest yet.
Oh, they don't say the harvest.
She doesn't know when she meets the other people in the royal family.
That's right. So, she just knows that all of human creation that as we know it, is wrong. And then the bounty hunters show up. And that here's another thing I like. That one guy's gun is pretty cool. He's got this weird, sound wave gun that shoots out these pulse rings. And she's running through a cornfield and he's, shooting after her and it, just throws her around.
You could say that sound wave superior.
I would say that. Okay, yeah, almost in a cool voice.
There's so just this movie.
There's another sort of chase fight scene.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, because they take off and when they take off they leave a crop circle.
Yeah,
because they movie's fucking stupid. Yeah. Why are they fighting? It's fucking. They're literally stealing when they're running through the corn. They're stealing fucking scenes from Signs. And how do you cop from Signs?
Yeah.
You piece of shit. You piece of shit movie. I fucking hate this.
And then she's taken over because there's two factions fighting for her. There is not Balaam, but the other one.
Titus. Yeah.
There's Titus and Balaam. And Balaam, played by Eddie Redmayne, can't seem to talk in something other than this.
Continue your point because I figured something out about this.
But this is fascinating to me because... Again, I hated Eddie Redmayne in Fantastic Beasts because he was just a series of ticks.
Yeah.
And again, here, it's just almost this Jared Leto-y, what is it that you're doing? But at the same time, I kind of applaud him for doing anything.
Yeah.
But it, I don't like what he did because it's very, very annoying.
All right, well, let me give you 2 points here. One, I think he's the best in this movie out of everybody because I think he's the only one that tonally fits this movie. I think what the Wachowskis were going for is much more what Eddie Redmayne was doing. And I think if everybody else had matched his energy, not necessarily his performance, but that energy, I think the movie would be a lot better.
No, that's fair.
I think a lot of people were playing it too straight. And I think if everything was that heightened, because he's like Gary Oldman in Fifth Element. He's got this but also...
He is annoying. I agree.
No, but does he talk like that? Because did Kane bite him?
I don't think there's a reason given for it.
Because there's this whole background that Kane bit someone's throat out at one point. One of the royalty, right?
Maybe he can yell okay. Because he's
oh, that's right. He does yell at some point.
If he's not doing this, he's yelling.
No, good point. Because they never do reveal who Kane ripped the throat out of.
No, it doesn't matter. He's an insubordinate man.
They mention it a lot. You would think that
because he's a loose cannon.
Because you know it would be good storytelling, and I know this.
I'm sorry, he's a loose canine.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. they could have had that. He could have killed her mom, her genetic, Mila Kunis, the queen.
Yeah, sure.
He could have, that could have been the throat that got ripped out. Yeah, she's the only dead royal.
That's not, has
and then, because then there'd be like a whole thing of like, oh, I'm falling in love with the person that I actually killed at one point.
Well, but see, here's, they would squander because there's a whole plot line of Titus wanting to marry his mom. And that's not really a thing that anyone ever
It's
talks
weird
about.
That they don't bring that up. Yes.
Yeah. Because he basically, because we find out that Eddie Redmayne owns Earth, and that's the most expensive planet.
That's right. Yeah.
And then Titus actually wants it for his own purposes. And so his, yeah, whatever.
Now, does he want it for any reason other than just it's like a good thing to own?
Well, so here's what happens. When she gets abducted, she gets abducted by Titus. Like Channing Tatum's character was sent by Titus to go get her. And
No. Channing Tatum was sent by the lady.
Was she sent by the I thought the other bodyguards were sent by the lady. Because he kidnaps her from he gets her from the lady. Because the bodyguards abscond with her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. All and right. then, okay. Then Eddie Redmayne spent the space Goomba right. Skeksis. Okay.
So the bounty hunters.
This movie's fucking really clear and good at being a movie.
The bounty hunters escape with her, and she's introduced to
on Slave One.
Yeah, on Slave One, is introduced to what's her face, the female of Brass Axe.
Kalik or something?
Yeah.
Kalik. Oh, wow. I can't believe I got that right.
Introduced to Kalik Abraxas, Abraxas, whatever, who basically tells her, yes, hey, explains the plot about how you're the genetic duplicate of my mom. And in our advanced society, genetics is like magic.
Yeah.
it's like a spirituality.
She goes, oh, it's like spirituality. Yeah. And like, oh, really?
Okay, that's very advanced. But and then shows her, like, she bathes in a pool of something to stay young and how her mom was, like, 91 millennial or
91,000 years old.
Yeah.
And this is a weird fucking, by the way, a lot of this movie got, like, a weird Scientology vibe of, like, all this kind of, like, ancient, you know, like, ultra long-lived aliens that were the planet.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, like.
Well, and then Channing Tatum shows up because he's from the other sibling, Titus, and rescues her. Quote unquote rescues her, takes her to Titus. Titus's whole plan is he starts telling her about, like, well, the reason they can stay young is through this goop, and the reason the goop is harvested humans. That we see
100 humans per every vial, and then she drops it on the floor like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Because this movie loves Mila Kunis and treats her really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
cool.
he wants to marry her to protect Earth. And because that's what his mother really wanted. So he wants to marry his mom. Yeah, which is, that is just glossed over.
Sorry, your point is well made, but we skipped the most important thing in this movie.
Mm.
When they're describing that humans originally came from Orus, which is the original planet.
Yeah.
They had to kill the current life forms on the planet with a comet. They killed dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's right. They killed the dinosaurs.
They explain the extinction event of the dinosaurs in this movie.
Yep.
John, they killed the dinosaurs in this movie.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens.
They needed it to make sense.
it's okay. So you're right. She's talking to the lady. She de-ages. She's like, here, look at my titties.
Yeah.
Full frontal, except in this movie. We get to see a little butt.
Yeah.
And she gets young again. You're like, wow, you no longer look like a young person with old age makeup. Now you look like impressive. A young person. Holy shit.
So what was that? Water?
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, well, it's really, really, really. So she gives the whole thing, and this is where she gives the time is the only commodity that matters. That's because that's a big thing in this movie.
Right.
Then she gets kidnapped.
So gives the whole thing about how time is the only commodity.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. No, it isn't. This liquid goop is.
But well, I guess liquid goop is time.
You could extrapolate. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, so Channing Tatum, Titus, it's what his mother would have wanted. So he wants to marry his mom, and that's just treated like no big deal. And meanwhile, he has thrown Kane Wise into the brig and is basically like twisting his mustache going, I'm going to marry her and then kill her and then get her titles. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I don't remember if this is before that.
The bureaucracy scenes? No, this doesn't happen yet. I have so many points because something happens before that that's very important.
God damn it.
Okay, so machinations happen. Let's get the Aegis ship. Aegis is kind of like space cops.
Right, yeah. That's who Sean Bean is a part of.
Nikki Amuka Bird is one of my favorite actresses on the planet. She's the black lady that's the captain of it.
What else has she been?
She's Luthor, first season. She's DC, whatever.
She's great.
And she's been in a bunch of like random, she's like that. She's this actress in a lot of stuff. I fucking love her. She has such presence.
Yeah.
Every time you see her, like, oh, I feel safer now that you're here. Like,
yeah.
So she's there. I just need to point her out because it's not like she does much, but I adore this actress. Okay. She gets reconnected with Channing Tatum.
Uh-huh.
And the worst dialogue in any movie that's ever happened happens. Now, do you know what I'm about to say?
Kane Wise.
No, worse than that. I can't do this, you know, because to me, in your eyes, I'm no better than a dog. But I love dogs. I've always loved dogs.
Yeah, we learned about her character. Yeah.
She is thirsty for that lichen dick.
Yeah.
And she says, I love dogs. And then she leaves, and there's like this scene where she goes, I love dogs. And she's like, feels stupid about what she says. Now, if she had had a character previous to that, I actually would have found that endearing.
Right.
But since she's just a cardboard puppet that just is in a wash in the plot of this movie, and I apologize to the concept of plot for using it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that happens. They get back together, and Nanny goes, all right, we need to go to the central bureaucracy to get your titles back. And you meet Bureaucracy Bob. Was that his name?
I don't know.
Wait. I need to find this because it's in a movie like this. It's one of the dumbest things. It's Advocate Bob.
Yes. Okay.
I think you're going to make the same point as me. Please, John.
So it's this. Yeah.
It is in your hands.
This robot that shows up that's like, I'm here to help you navigate this thing. And then the robot has no idea what to do. And they go because they go through all these different ha ha ha. Look at how crazy bureaucracy is. And they go to...
Now, let's just pause here. What movie does this remind you of?
We'll get to that.
No, but it, I mean...
No, we'll get... Let
okay,
me get to
okay,
that.
Okay, please.
Let's go to these different apartments. Oh, I can't do that until I have this sheet. Well, I'll go see this person. Oh, I can't do that until I have this. Okay. And the guy that's supposed to help her navigate is playing her role.
Yep.
Is being like, I'm confused and don't understand what's going on.
Because she isn't here to do anything.
Yeah, like, why is this bot even there?
Well, because he's an advocate.
Oh, but yeah, but look, that's I guess maybe that's another level of bureaucracy. Ha, 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 ha. This is stupid. Waste of time. Anyway, they get to where they're supposed to be to get the whole thing done. And guess who's running it? Terry fucking Gilliam.
Yep. This whole sequence that's made to look like Brazil. They actually, some of the form names are the same ones from the movie Brazil. Terry fucking Gilliam shows up.
Now, and we have definitely talked about this before. You want to talk about not reminding me of a worse movie? Don't make me think of a better movie.
Yeah.
Don't make me think, boy, I really wish I was watching Brazil right now.
Yeah.
And, Terry Gilliam is old, and I haven't seen his last few movies. Maybe he sucks now. I don't know. But I'm sure he just is like, whatever, give me the money. But fuck you, Terry Gilliam, for being in this.
Yeah.
He
is doing, and because I don't bring this up very often, I feel safe to do it. He's doing... The Mr. Ollivander part from the Harry Potter movies is this old man that's trying to find their wand. That's a signature. Yeah, that's.
I'm glad that you're happy.
That's for saying canine prick.
Yeah.
She finally gets her whatever thing's there for her driver's license.
Well, yeah, she gets a tattoo that basically like is her title. Like it's basically her like royal sigil.
Oh yeah, it's like a fucking entry stamp to a rave.
Yeah.
Like yeah, it's this neon tattoo. And she's like, oh, you're now my highness and you're way to go. You own the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
I'll say this. This is a non sequitur. I'm curious what the eyeliner budget was in this movie. Because between her and Channing Tatum and other characters, there's a lot of eyeliner in this movie.
Yeah, I think that's the majority of the $170 million went
probably
to eyeliner.
Just went to Maybelline.
Yeah, eyeliner and just drugs to keep people from being aware of what's happening. This is about where Sean Bean betrayed him. Oh, yeah, because Kane gets handed over to one of the brothers, the one with the jaw. Who's the jawline brother?
That is Titus.
Titus. Basically, he throws Kane into the fucking outer space. And there was the fourth thing I like about this. They got robots with tiny, tiny arms, and those tiny arms are guns. And they're awesome. You know those robots that have like little like their arms are like basically cut off where it is and they pop up and they turn into guns?
Boy, I don't even remember
that. Oh, they're so great. It's again, if this movie was the way it should have been, it would have made me really happy. And I went, oh, those would be cool. All you've done is remind me of the joy I could have had watching this movie.
Well, and so they blast Channing Tatum into space, but he kicks open a cargo pod or something like that throws his little lunch boxes out with him. these little bento boxes, yeah. And then they're actually spacesuits.
Yeah, which seems a little convenient. But I mean, at this point of the film, I've like lost all hope in anything. And I'm like, all right, fine. Yeah. You know, whatever you're going to do. Titus and Herb are basically going to get married in front of a whole bunch of robots.
Now, again, this is again on a ship that looks like a cathedral. And that's cool.
Yeah, that part's cool. A whole bunch of robots with weird faces. I like that. And they're there to watch it.
And she's like, what's the deal with that? He's like, oh, it's tradition. It's what we do.
Yeah. And he's like, he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, this isn't for love. We're all like in our society. It's just
matters of state.
Yeah. So they're about to do that. And while this is happening, Kane, he goes and gets old Sean Bean. He's like, all right, dude.
Well, Sean Bean rescues him.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, because they find, because he's awash in space. Awash. He's lost. Right. He's lost in space. And like,
don't remind me of a better movie.
Yeah. Jesus is like, well, you're lucky we showed up. Are we?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right. So they decide that they are going to, they're going to attack the ship where they're having the wedding to try to break it up. And it turns out that Sean Bean at one point broken through the hammer. And that's why he's so famous.
Not the hammer. The war hammer.
The war hammer. Sorry.
Which
yeah.
really, again, yeah. like, that's a famous thing. That's yeah. a property. Yeah. Like, why are you? Okay, fine. No,
so,
fine.
So they break through the hammer by just moving their joysticks around a little bit. Oh. And it doesn't track. It doesn't make sense. You don't see what was miraculous about it. It is the same pod race bullshit. I know what works. Spinning. That's a great trick. It is... It is absolute fucking garbage.
And can we just talk about Batman versus Superman?
Probably.
Like, I am so bored with this. I hate this movie so much.
Yeah, well, it's almost over.
Oh, my. Is it? It's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to Nish yet.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
I hate this movie.
They break up the wedding. Blah, blah, blah. Breaks up the wedding. Oh, and
there's more movie.
Yeah, this is where the movie should have ended. I bet any other movie would end, but it doesn't. That's why I thought this movie was 3 hours. All right, so it turns out that at some point, the Goomba Skeksis have kidnapped Jupiter's family.
Yes.
Because Eddie Redmayne has them. So she, emissaries, she meets with Eddie Redmayne to bargain for her family's life. She meets with Eddie Redmayne, and he's like, life is an act of consumption. No, let me, here's, I don't know if you're going to understand the point. I agree with
oh,
me
I
here,
bet.
But I kind of agree with the bad guys in this movie a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because they did, he goes, I create life! Mm-hmm. I mean, he's right. Like, yeah. Okay, so right now on the planet, we have around about 7 billion people. On the planet, there's been, I forget what the number is, but like there's been 14 billion or 20 billion people before us. As far as things are concerned, they created us,
mm-hmm.
gave us life and everything good about it, gave far more life than death.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying it's right to kill 8 billion people, but from their perspective, it's not this... kind of makes sense. Like, I mean, I'm like, from a vegetarian perspective, maybe I'm just kind of skewed here, but it's like, well, yeah, this is the same logic as cows. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, we own them, so we can kill them and eat them. Like, it's, I kind of like, I'm not on their side, but like, I agree with them far more than I should for them supposed to be like, you
right.
know, mustache twirling villains.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think killing off huge populations of people just so you can bathe in it and get a little bit younger is
but,
great.
But they made the population is kind of thing where
yeah.
it's like, they're essentially gods. It's like, I'm not saying it's right, but it's like, I can see why they think it's within their purview. To,
no, I can, understand, yeah, I can yeah, understand their point of view. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you would think, like, in this movie, you would maybe try to not have that happen, because that doesn't help, because there's, yeah, whatever. My point's made.
I get it. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Every part of this movie is fucking terrible.
This is, so, I guess I didn't realize this when this was happening, but I guess...
That the elephant pilot is named Nish?
Well, no, that his refinery is in the red spot of Jupiter, is where Balaam is. So
which, going
the movie
back,
actually goes to Jupiter to get more stupider?
Going back to the menstrual pad thing, the red spot of Jupiter.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Yes, she's...
Women are bad.
She's spotting. She's about to start her period.
That's what this is all, is a metaphor.
Yes, it is a metaphor.
Well, and that's sort of one of my many issues.
Oh, you had issues with this film. I didn't pick up on
it. So he, because his whole thing is like, Eddie Redmayne's character, he's like, I will blow up the earth. I will harvest the earth tomorrow. And his little guy who looks, his sidekick who looks like a rat, because why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Is like, well, profitably, it'd be better if you waited until blah, blah, blah. He's like, I will do it tomorrow. And so he wants to harvest. So there's some stakes there. The world's going to end if Eddie Redmayne gets his way. And then Titus wants to get her so he can make money off of destroying the planet, I guess. Right?
Well, I think Titus is going to wait a while. He's going to wait for us to be... Right. So he is buying hundreds of years of...
Right. So he's going to let us... But he's still going to, you know...
But it's... I mean, theoretically, we could get off the planet. You know, humanity could survive in some,
but
some
the,
way.
But yeah. I guess the point I'm making
saying,
is that...
I'm on their side a little bit.
Is that... It's the same problem twice.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really irritating.
Also, what happened to the sister?
It does. Yeah.
She's just gone.
She's fine.
You
yeah,
know
it doesn't
why?
Matter.
Woman.
Right. Yeah.
The Wachowskis hate women. I don't really. Yeah. I don't.
Well, because she wasn't. She was like bottom of the pyramid in terms of. She was just happy to have her mom back.
Oh yeah, so great. Just, yeah, yeah, that works. All right. So here. This is where the best part of the movie happens. Nish, the elephant pilot.
Mm.
That's it. So it's like, hey, we got to go through the storm, but there's no way to go through the storm. You'd have to be some kind of crazy good pilot, almost like someone who could break through a Warhammer or the scene that just happened. Hey, I know what should happen. Let's do the same fucking scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same scene.
It's the same scene.
So Kane breaks through the eye of the storm, which somehow causes a reaction in the atmosphere and the whatever the processing plant, because they don't actually say what it is, processing plant starts to explode. And they're like, we have to run. And this is where it's the exact scene from that Star Wars, I think episode 2, where Natalie Portman's running through the manufacturing facility and like Anakin gets his hand stuck in the thing and she's like, oh no, I have to duck, roll. Oh, this is not going to be for the video game later.
Right.
It's the exact scene. And I had the thought, and I didn't know Natalie Portman had been up for this role. I had the thought of, oh, this looks exactly like Natalie Portman in that. And I never felt better for an actress that she said no to this film because... She's a very smart woman and she's like good at life. And I would feel terrible for her if she got tricked into two different times being like, oh, I'm in a CGI hellscape. No, just duck, roll that way.
But, yeah, sorry.
All right. So Nish, he's elephant pilot. Basically, it's Eddie Redmayne is running away. Jupiter is also running away and they're kind of running into each other and punching and kicking and punch, fight, kick, Parappa the Rapper style. That's about it. I mean,
No.
Channing Tatum starts fighting the lead Goomba Skeksis.
Right.
And it's a big fight. And then he chops his head off using like a portal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that scene from the Avengers movie that a few years later, you know, the one that was the worst scene in any movie other than in this. Because why would you show a guy's hand getting chopped off where later in the movie it's an essential plot that if a guy's hand got chopped off, that would solve all of our problems? Because that's an incredibly dumb thing to put in a film, much like the many parts of this movie. So she's fighting Eddie Redmayne, and then she basically goes, I'm not your fucking mom!
Because you find out that Eddie Redmayne is the one that killed the mom.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's a big reveal.
I mean, was it a big reveal?
Yeah, it was, sure. The movie thought it was.
Not to go back to me not understanding what a twist is, but was it a big reveal? So they're fighting, and she goes, I don't fucking care about you, basically. And she turns around, and she doesn't kill him, which is the entire point of this, in that he dies because the thing falls and yada, yada. Redmayne, he wins against it. Oh, in the ship, that lady that I like, the captain, is like, I'm going to give him every fucking second I can to try to... Get Kane and her back on the ship, and things are exploding around her. She's like, hey, let's open a wormhole right here. Like, do you know how dangerous it is? Like, I know how dangerous it is. However, I don't, because this has not been established in the universe.
Yeah,
now, I've seen other sci-fi movies, so I can extrapolate, but you're not supposed to do that in a movie. Also, the movie ended when the marriage broke up.
Yeah.
Why are you introducing new concepts? Yeah. This movie. So he catches up to the ship using his rocket boots because he caught her after she fell, and it's just dumb. It's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through the wormhole thingy, and they're like, oh, fuck, you're back on the ship. This is great. Cut to, she's back at her old life cleaning toilets, but she's happy about it.
She's happy because...
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, she's apparently, because then she meets Channing Tatum on a rooftop, and... you know, he's like, how's it feel to be queen of the universe? She's like, bleh, no, I don't want to think about it. But call me your majesty because that's hot. But I don't want to think about it. I just want to clean some toilets. And like, apparently, like, all her family's money woes aren't as big of an issue because she hasn't like cashed in anything to save her family.
It's another hand wave. Because they piled their money together and bought her this telescope that she's been wanting.
Well, whatever. Because cousin
Vlade
or whatever, he gets all upset earlier when he finds out she didn't go to the clinic.
He was writing
checks for Body Didn't Cash.
He's tens of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
But
it's fine. It's fine.
So they go, oh, you're going on a deed. So what's his name? Blah, blah, blah. What's his sign? And she goes, I don't know. And everybody laughs because that's the funniest thing ever, not knowing what your astrological sign is. That's hilarious, especially somebody that has a telescope.
So she's apparently the queen of the universe and is like, you know how everyone is like, well, if I won the lottery, my life would basically just be the same, but I just have a little bit more. So that's basically what happened. And she's like, no, I'm fine just cleaning toilets.
But all right, so before we get to the last abortion of a scene, let's do a little philosophical discussion here, because thankfully the movie's over, so you and I can just talk about things as people. She's the queen of the universe.
Yeah.
She's a queen of the universe, or she's a queen of one of these mega families, because they actually say earlier in the film that this isn't even the biggest family in the universe. She's a major player. She's one of the Bilderberg group. She's an Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Space Habsburg.
Did she shut down all of the harvesting? Because they own thousands of planets. Did she shut that down?
I'm assuming yes.
Why do we have to assume? Because we need character growth. That's the fucking point of
the movie. Well, we know that she's not down with that.
But why bring her back to the planet to scrub toilets? Why not at least establish her as a benevolent queen?
Well, that is her being a benevolent queen. Because she's not, she's letting everyone, she's just letting people be. She's a laissez-faire.
But how do we letting them be? They're still culling people. That sister is still out there.
Yeah.
Brother's still out there. They're still murdering humans.
But those are dumb planets.
Oh, like my bad. No, you bring up a good point. This whole movie is about immigration, so the entire thing is build that wall.
Right, yeah.
Build that wall.
Build that wall.
Yes. Make K-9 great again. So assuming she's... Yeah, we need to see... She starts the movie being slightly bad about her life. She gets some dog dick, and now she's happy about her life, even though she knows that there's billions of humans being murdered for skincare products.
Or are they?
Yeah, they are. It's well established.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's well established.
No, the movie treats it like, no, it's fine.
Well, the movie is bad at being a movie.
Yes.
Okay, so now that we got that settled, that she's essentially a Holocaust denier, that she goes, nah, that happened. No. What? What?
Well, it's like
crazy.
It makes
me Arbeit Max what? That's so fun.
It honestly made me think of the second Dune book, where Paul Atreides has taken control and his jihad has killed, like, one of his underlings says to him, like, you've killed more people than Earth's Hitler or whatever, looking back at the history. And he's like, bah.
Yeah.
Because he's a monster. And I think, I think it's just like, well, yeah, but you saved Earth, so that's fine.
Yeah, because it's not like they made a point earlier in the film to point out that that Earth isn't the center of everything, and because there's a whole speech about it.
His name is Kane Wise.
His name is Kane Wise. Oh, like Wise Potato Chips. I get it now.
Yes.
They go up to the top of the roof.
He had a maxi pad on him.
That's hilarious. You know why? Because women bleeding from their womanly parts. That is,
can you imagine,
the height of comedy. Jupiter spotting.
Yeah.
They go, so she's on the roof with Kane, and they're like, hey, you ready to start your flying lesson? She's got the Space Whirler skates on, and he's got his wings.
He's got his wings
back. He got them back, John.
He got them back. That was very concerned about that.
So he got his wings back.
And
then they jump off the building together, and she flies around like, woohoo, in a very Star Wars-y and woohoo Anakin Skywalker.
Now that's pod racing.
And it says Jupiter's ending.
Yeah.
Spinning, that's a great trick by the Wachowski brothers. I can't begin to describe how much I hope you didn't watch this movie.
Remember,
people listening.
Remember when I said earlier about how someone asked a question and then it wouldn't get answered? That's this movie.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it's like you said, it's like, oh, so everything's fine. I'm flying.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah.
I rarely felt this bad for the audience if someone watched this because of our show.
I mean, seriously, like, Order of the Black Eagle. Yeah, sure. I'll watch that again.
Because at least...
I didn't walk away from that movie going, what? Huh? Like, my brain is just shutting down.
This movie hurt.
Yeah.
It's
funny, like, as I mentioned, like, it is this rote sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
But with the Wachowski's bizarre underpinning. So there's not really anything bolstered, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Wachowski's get away with a lot of shit because they go big. And like, so that covers up for a lot of it. But when you don't have that there and you're just doing your basic ass sci-fi movie, the shit that doesn't make sense doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to save me from that. And so I'm just wallowing in this for
Way too long.
This is one of those films, and this is rare in a filmography sense that this happens, that this makes me question if I'm wrong about the previous movies of theirs that I like.
That's what Interstellar did to me about.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. Actually, I didn't make the note. I was going to say, like, this is like my Interstellar with you and Nolan, where it's like, maybe I'm wrong about, because I still think The Matrix is like a really quality
movie.
But you can see,
I think this does a better job of showing why those movies are, for lack of a better word, acceptable. Because they are like big and, like, Speed Racer is not a great movie, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it was something to see. This is not that at all.
And this is the first time I'm going to live on tape propose something to you here, John. Let's make a deal. We never do another Wachowski's movie.
I think we have to. Yeah.
Because we've had Cloud Atlas on the list for a while. Like
I can't do that now.
No, that's what I'm saying is I think like as a show, we now just the motion passes. We no longer will watch a Wachowski movie on this show.
I think they would have to do something like big to make me see another Wachowski movie.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of maybe like a, like they make the next, not that Avatar was a good movie, but they make a movie that like breaks every record ever.
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, fine, fuck, we have to.
Mm-hmm.
I am on a no Wachowski.
Yeah, this one really put me off my eggs.
I don't want to watch more of their stuff. Like Sense8 pretty much did it for me. Like I watched two episodes and there was a scene in one of the episodes that I thought was one of the worst scenes of television ever. Mm. And I look back longingly when I thought that was bad after watching this, where I went, oh, I thought that was bad. Cause this was, this was a shit sandwich.
It was terrible. Like I'm sorry. I could barely bring myself to talk about this movie. Cause it's just on my deathbed. When the doctors finally tell me it's terminal, whatever it is that I have, when I think about wasting my life, this movie is going to be the first thing that I think of.
Mine is actually The Terminal, weirdly enough.
That makes sense. That wasn't very good.
He has the same accent as Vladdy in this.
Oh.
John?
Yes.
You did it.
We did.
You blew it up.
I did?
You finally did it!
That's
my Charles Houston impression.
Mm-hmm.
Who is not in the movie. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And is not in any of the Planet of the Apes movies. I guess Charles Stun, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I was being facetious. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's why I
called him Charles Houston.
Kane Wise.
So we are watching the 2011 Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
The second attempt to reboot the Apes series in the 2000s. It stars that guy.
He is in there.
What's his name?
Andy Serkis?
No, who's the lead in the movie?
Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. Andy Serkis. Go Lithgow. And probably some other people.
What I like is recently the Hollywood Theater here in Portland did a marathon of like all the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
Not including the Tim Burton one. They just went, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, oh, that's fun.
We're not.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. All right. So 2011, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That'll be the next one. Please share the episodes on your social media feed. Like, rate, review. Do all the stuff that you you hear other podcasts tell you to do. Because no one... You know, we like when people listen, and then if you help us, we'll help you by giving you more entertainment.
Do you want to plug your Patreon?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a Patreon now. So it's patreon.com/AlexBolin, Alex with two X's. It has very little to do with this show, but if you sign up with this show, I meant to bring this up to you off air, but we're going to do it on air, and editing out. If you sign up because you like this show, make sure to leave a note, because I'll make sure to buy John booze for the show or like some kind of, you know, thing, because I don't want to because I mean John, whatever the fucking fart noises or whatever he makes on the show, I don't pay attention. Yeah. I'm sure is valuable in some way.
Kane Wise.
Yeah, that's true. Kane Wise Gamgees coming at you. All right, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.